everyone. It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. I was thrilled to reconnect with Debbie Hunt. She used to work at our computer business years ago. Ran into her at the store, and as we visited, I found out she was a quilter. Then I lost her contact information. So when Guthrie and I turned down the cereal aisle one evening, I squealed with delight as I saw Debbie again. Guthrie just couldn't figure out why I was so excited to see cereal until he saw me approach Debbie.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for being on A Quilter's Life. I really appreciate it. I'd like to start with your background. Where were you born?
I was actually born in Ravenna, Ohio, which is in northern Ohio. We lived in different areas. I think we moved around a lot, but I lived there till I was in eighth grade, and we moved down to southern Ohio, which, you know, this around this area.
Uh-huh.
So I lived in Louisville, and I went to Skyview High School. So from eighth grade on to when I graduated, I went to Skyview.
Okay.
And like I said, we lived in Louisville, so it was, but we lived like, I think it was even 7-9 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
So I rode the bus, and we were the second ones to get on and the second ones to get off.
Oh, what a long day.
It was, yeah, it was like over an hour, about an hour each way on the bus.
Were you able to do homework while you were on the bus?
Yeah, I don't know if I actually did or not, but, you know, I could have. So that would have been good if I did. But I'm not sure if I did that or not, but I don't know. I remember playing maybe card games or something, but I don't know.
Do you have any special memories of growing up in northern Ohio?
Yeah, one that comes to mind is going to a person's house, and we went trick-or-treating in their neighborhood, and it was snowing, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, here it was Halloween, it was snowing. So it's pretty cold. It's colder up there, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But this woman's house that we went to, she made doll clothes for Barbies, I remember.
Oh, neat.
That sort of stressed me a little bit. And I think that's kind of when I started sewing on my mom's sewing machine. I was probably about 10, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I was experimenting with sewing on Barbie doll clothes. So that's probably how I got started sewing. But that's one thing. One memory I have of up there.
Cool. So after high school, what did you do?
I actually went to the Air Force. And that's probably when, right before my 19th birthday, I went into the Air Force. And I went to San Antonio is where the basic training was.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my orders to my next base, which ended up being Mississippi for training, because I got into electronics.
Okay.
And I sort of blame that on my dad, because he's an electrician, and you know, he's kind of prepping me like for the tests, you know. And so that's kind of how I got into that. So anyway, I ended up going to Mississippi to Keesler Air Force Base and had my electronics training there.
Uh-huh. How long were you there?
Probably, I don't think it was over a year, maybe 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my job orders, which were to be an avionics communication specialist, which is aircraft radio. And then my orders to my base were my permanent base is going to be Grissom, Indiana, Grissom Air Force Base. Which I don't know. It was a SAC base at the time when I went.
What does that mean?
Strategic Air Command. That's all I know. Anyway, it was more one of the more I don't know. They had KC-135s there, which are the big refueling tanker.
Okay.
Those airplanes would go all around and refuel all the like the smaller jets aircraft that the Air Force had, and I would work on the radios in those, and I had a toolbox that I had, and I would have to climb up the steps with that toolbox on top of my head, and then somebody would have to grab it up at the top because it's pretty heavy, you know. And it's funny, though, because I got the job when I was in San Antonio. How I got my job, this is what they told me. When all of us ladies went through the original line when we first came in, when we first got to the base, we had to go through this check-in or whatever. Well, one of the things in the check-in was you had to pull these weights that were on a wall. Okay.
Interesting.
Well, I pulled these weights, and I just, you know, did it probably as hard as I could, you know.
Yeah.
But I found out later, whenever they told me what my job was going to be, that I qualified for the job because I lifted like 70 pounds or something over my head, and it was more than anybody else in the group. And I'm going, what? Because there were bigger girls than I was there, you know. I was like, wow, how did I do that? So anyway, that's how I got my job. So yeah, there's, you know, you had to be able to lift things. Some of the radios were actually really heavy, the older ones. And then they went to a new one that was about the slice of, or, you know, about the size of a loaf of bread, and actually you took it apart in slices. It was kind of neat. Some of them were gigantic. The older ones were just, they had tubes in them, you know. When we took them in the shop to work on them, we had to put the tubes in the tube checker, you know. That was...
Wow.
And then they went to the solid state ones, which didn't have tubes anymore. So, And I'm sure that they're real tiny now. You know, they're probably real tiny things now, but they weren't when I was in. They were gigantic. So,
how long were you in the Air Force?
I was only in for 4 years. I got married when I was in there, and then I got pregnant, so they put me into a different job. Like the last year that I was in. So I had my daughter probably 4 weeks before I got out. I paid a dollar for her. Because, you know, you could pay nothing. And the dollar was for the phone in the room, okay? We paid completely for her. That was so nice.
Nice.
Yeah, because I know it's pretty expensive now.
Yeah.
She was born in the Air Force. So when I got out, I ended up going to Michigan. My husband, that's where his parents were at. And unfortunately, he was going to school down in Indianapolis, but then he decided he didn't want to be married anymore. And so we ended up getting divorced. So, and at that time, then I took my daughter and went to my dad's, and he lived in Southern Ohio.
That's how you got back to this area.
That's how I got back here. I got a job in Columbus, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle worked for a company in Columbus, and he helped me get a job at his company. So, and that was working on computers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my Air Force job is what helped me get into that because, you know, I figured I had the electronics training, and so it would be easy enough to go into computers then. And these, you have to realize at that time, the computers were not like what we have now.
No.
They were called mini computers, but they were actually gigantic. They had these, what they called dumb terminals that were connected to them, to the mainframe. And I would work on the computer itself, the mainframe part, and also the dumb terminals, which were had a little screen on them and a keyboard. So... I probably worked there for 10 years, I think, and then I got laid off and I had to find another job. That's what got me started, I guess. And then while I was working with them, I actually got into printers, but they were the dot matrix printers. That's the first printers I worked on.
Did you ever work on the screens? I just remember having to work on a screen a long time ago, and I had to defuse it or something. It's been so long.
Yes.
So you won't get
job. Degauss it. So, yeah, you had to, like, stick because I had to do that at a place I worked at up in Columbus where we worked on, I believe they were Compaq computers, place I worked at. And they had the big tubes, and you would have to you had to take the charge out of them, and so you had to put a screwdriver on the back of them, and it would push a big part. You know, it's kind of scary to do, it would make a zap, you know.
Yeah. I remember doing that and thinking, boy, if someone didn't know to do this, and they took this apart.
And didn't do that and touch that. Oh boy, that hurt. I think. So yeah, it was kind of one of the things I didn't like to do there. But that was another place I worked at after I worked at the one I was at 10 years. So yeah, I had to do that too. So I know what you're talking about there.
I didn't do that for very long. That's why we hired others.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, when did you come work with us?
It was around 2000, I'm thinking. Or like 1999, perhaps.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, those were crazy years. I don't remember a whole lot.
Yeah. I really enjoyed working there. That was really, really nice.
Okay.
I think I was engaged to my husband at the time when I was working there.
So you moved to Williamstown about that time?
Yeah, when I got married in 2002, I moved out here.
Before we get on to talking about quilting, are there other crafts or hobbies you do?
I play the flute, which I probably just started probably 12 years ago now. My husband got me a flute for Christmas because I mentioned one time, I think, that, hey, you know, I played flute when I was in high school for 1 year. So, you know, I thought it'd be nice to try and, you know, pick it up again and play it. So,
neat.
And I mentioned it one time and he got it for Christmas. I'm going, oh, now I have to do something with this. I actually had to learn it from scratch. I remembered nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even the notes and everything, I had to relearn all that, how to blow into it, each of the fingering, everything I had to relearn.
Well, nothing came back.
No. I mean, nothing... I had to relearn everything. I did not remember anything. So, yeah. And I should have went to a music teacher, but I didn't. I kind of went online and looked at things. And so eventually, you know, I did kind of get it a little bit. And then after Polly, I played it for maybe 5 years, which I still wasn't very good, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that I was going to be in the orchestra at my church that I'm at now. So, and I, like I said, I still wasn't very good. So, but there was a guy there at my church, and he's no longer there because he passed away. But he was like my cheerleader. You can do it. Just keep practicing. You can do it. You can do it. I'm going, oh, okay, you know. So eventually, I could play okay, but... It's so much better to learn to play the flute or any instrument for that matter when you're young, you know, because when you get older, it's just a lot harder.
You enjoy it, right?
But I do enjoy it, yes. And so I'm up there every Sunday.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that's one thing that I got from my husband that I kind of put into service for the Lord, which I think is kind of a nice thing.
That's
and it
so neat.
kept me motivated to keep doing it. So.
Does he play any instruments so you guys can play together?
No, he doesn't play any. It's funny, though, because he has the bongos. He says that's his instrument.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
With quilting, who introduced you to quilting?
Yeah, that's right. Think about that. I'm not really sure. I know my ex-husband, his mother, quilted. I don't know if she actually pieced the quilts herself. I imagine she did, but she had a frame, I remember, and she would hand quilt.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, and I thought that was pretty interesting. So I don't know if that's when I started. So it was back in probably 95. 92, well, early in that, probably in the early 90s, probably when I started.
Mm-hmm.
But I started with miniature quilts. So I have some miniature quilts I did. One was like an original design, and I put it into the Ohio State Fair.
Uh-huh.
I also think sent it to Better Homes and Gardens Miniature Quilt Contest or something one time. And I got an honorable mention for that in the magazine, but I don't think I had the magazine anymore that it was in. But I still had the quilt. I mean, it's up in my house. That was one of the things I'd done. I just kind of went from there. And I don't think I actually made, I think the next size I made was a baby quilt. And it wasn't until probably the last 10 years I actually made a quilt for a bed, you know.
Do you have a favorite quilt?
I do. I have one that's hanging in my basement. My woman cave, you know, and it's actually a pattern from one of the Better Homes and Gardens miniature quilt magazines that I had. It was called Green with Envy. It's like a star, and it has like an alternate design in it when you look at it. I have it in colors that are like all jewel colors, deep, you know, greens, reds, purples, yellows, gold, you know, just, it's all, so I call it Jewels of Envy. But the thing of it is, it probably took me 10 years to make that quilt, you know, just because it just took a lot of time when I started it until when I finished it.
Yeah.
And it's still actually not finished because it's hanging up, not quilted yet. It's just the top. So it's still not done, but it's still my favorite quilt, you know.
Yeah.
And it's only like a wall hanging size, probably.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it would be a big wall hanging size, or maybe the size of a baby quilt, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I would probably use it as a wall hanging. So that would be my favorite one.
Neat. Do you have a favorite part of the process?
I tell you what, I really like the designing and picking out the colors and fabrics. And I probably my favorite type of quilt is scrappy, because I just love... that's why I love that quilt, because it's all different colors. I mean, I just love that. That color scheme is my favorite, just everything.
So do you have a worst quilting experience?
Well, I can't really think. I know, you know, I make baby quilts for the Women's Care Center. I have a quilt group that does that, and I quilt a lot of the quilts on my long arm that I have, which is another thing that my husband gave me for Christmas. Because I'd mentioned that I was making a quilt for my granddaughter, for our granddaughter. I told him, I said, well, you know, I'm making this. I said, but cause she wanted me to make her one. And I said, well, I can get the top done. I said, but the quilting part, it's going to take me till she gets in college, you know, probably to quilt it, you know. So she was probably 10, 11 at the time. So I said, I could take it to a quilter, you know, have it machine quilted. said, well, that probably costs a little bit to do that. He said, well, how much will it cost to get a machine? I said, well, I don't know. So he ended up getting me a long-arm quilting machine. That was 2009.
Wow.
And that's another thing that he got me that I kind of put into service for God, because that's when I started my quilt group, was in 2012. 2013, somewhere in there, and So the ladies, there's like four of us, I guess, that work on them, and they make the tops, and I quilt them on the long arm. But one of the quilts that I quilted, I sort of ran out of the backing before I was done, so that was probably the worst thing that would happen.
Oh, that would be tough.
Take it off, and try and sew on another piece to you know, if you miscalculate on how long your quilt is, that's
what
can happen. And you have to leave a little bit, you know, I thought maybe I had enough, but you actually have to add more on to the bottom because it kind of shrinks up as you're quilting. So it can be a little misleading to have the backing the same size as your quilt. You can't do that. It has to be a little bit more. You have to give yourself more leeway because it does shrink up some when you're quilting it.
I've never taken mine in, but I had seen where they said at least 2 or more inches on each side.
Yeah, I like actually 4 would be better. Mm-hmm.
On each side, so a total of 6 to 8 total length? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then for the length, I would do a good 6 inches more to be on the side. Because, you know, like I said, it does shrink up as you're quilting.
Yeah. Interesting. Why do you make quilts?
It's just my creative part, you know. I love being creative. I love making things, and that's just something. When I started making the quilts, you know, I don't know. It's sort of addictive, actually, when you make quilts. And it's really addictive, you know, when you start buying fabric. I mean, I have a huge stash, so and I keep buying more. So, it is sort of addicting. But I just love the process. I love, like I said, making the designing of it, picking out the fabrics. I love making blocks, you know. Probably my least part of the process would be cutting everything out, because it just seems like that takes so long. It's like, I want to get this done so I can start sewing, you know.
When you say cutting them out, I was trying to picture it. You meant the pieces beforehand or trimming them up?
Well, the trimming part I don't mind, but it's just actually just cutting out the squares and the, you know, from the fabrics the sizes that you need to start making the blocks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could get past that so I could start making the blocks. But, you know, you have to go through all that. You have to do all that. And then binding the quilt is probably my second least favorite, because that just takes a lot of time. But it's the actual finishing, that's the actual finishing part that you have to do in order for the quilt to be complete, you know.
So when you put your binding on, do you sew with the machine both sides, or do you sew one side and hand stitch the other?
Yeah, I sew one side and tack it down by hand.
Okay.
I probably could do it the other way, but I just like how the hand tack down looks.
Yeah, I agree. People make their bindings different width. What size width do you usually do your binding?
I guess it depends on the size of the quilt. If it's a baby size quilt, I might use like 2 1/4 inch cut, you know, folded over.
Mm-hmm.
And on a bigger quilt, I might do a 2 1/2 probably.
Okay.
I don't usually do bigger than 2 1/2.
Okay.
But, you know, 2 1/2 is nice, because if you do all your 2 1/2, and anything you have left over, you know, you can make quilts out of that.
That's true.
For scrap, you can make quilts out of that 2 1/2 inch better than you can at 2 1/4. So
I'm going to have to think that through.
Yeah.
So I usually just cut 2 inch.
2 inch?
Yeah. I have a really small binding.
Well, you know, because you have a 1/4 inch that you got to sew, so it doesn't leave you much to fold over.
It doesn't,
and
but it's really tiny.
Unless you trim really close to the, and I usually like leave just like an eighth of an inch of the batting on, because I like my binding to have a little bit of fill in it.
Yeah.
That actually helps it to last longer.
Uh huh.
When it's a little bit more tighter, you know, with the batting in it.
Right.
I don't usually cut it right flush with the quilt. I leave
a little bit of
batting on there. I don't know. I guess I read that somewhere that actually helps your batting, the binding to last longer when you have a little more fill in it rather than having real thin there.
Hmm. Who do you make your quilts for?
Well, I've made quilts for, like I said, my granddaughters, and I made... there's one granddaughter who lives in, she's actually in the Air Force right now, but they lived in Virginia. And then there's another granddaughter here in Parkersburg. I made her a quilt when she was younger. She's turning 15 now. And recently she came to me this spring and said she would like a quilt made with Elvis because she loves Elvis. So I said, okay, I'll make quilt, but you're going to help me. So,
oh, neat.
So right now we are making this Elvis quilt, and right now it's on the machine. And she has, bless her, she has went through every step of the process with me. She comes over in the evening or on Saturday sometimes, and from the cutting, you know, from the designing, getting the fabric, cutting it, piecing, making the blocks, it's just a simple 9-patch block, and then we have the Elvis cut out like they're 8-inch blocks, I think is what we have, or 8 or 9-inch blocks. So I cut the Elvis fabric in the big 9-inch block,
mm-hmm.
and then piece the 9-patch blocks with a red fabric, and then another fabric that has musical notes on it.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to find fabric with Elvis on it?
Well, I actually went to Spoonflower, and I found something there. I mean, it was really expensive getting it through, but they have, like, custom fabrics. And
okay.
So I found Elvis on that one. So we ordered that. And then the other, the red, and then the other fabric, I think we found locally. So, you know, we designed it. We cut it out. She sewed with me. I probably made most of the blocks, but she made, you know, several of them. And then we put them together row by row. So she
mm-hmm.
put, like, 5 rows together. I put 5 rows together, and then we sewed them together. Now we're in the process of actually quilting it. And so she actually did a whole – we're doing it in a loop, a continuous loop. And so I actually had her practice on the machine. First time she'd ever done it, but she did really good. And then I gave her homework, which was just a grid to actually draw the pattern that we're doing. When you draw it by hand, like when you're a machine quilter, and you practice by drawing it by hand on a piece of paper, or I actually have one of those dry erase board.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that, too, to practice with. I have a few of those that I practice with. But I actually gave her homework. So she's been doing it. And, you know, we did it probably Tuesday night, I think. She came over and she did a full pass-through on one and back a couple times. So she only made, like, 2 mistakes that I had to rip out. But she did pretty good.
Neat.
So it's been nice. And it's good because it helps her realize how much work goes into making a quilt. I mean, people don't know how much goes into it. You know, and they think, oh, you made me a quilt. Oh, that's nice, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they don't realize how much work went into that. So she knows. And I'm hoping that she'll get an interest in it, too, and continue.
Yeah, have fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I also make the baby quilts for the Women's Care Center. So that's another thing I make quilts for, too.
Okay, okay. Now, with that, do you make those with your group, or do you just do that on your own?
Actually, the group. And we all, you know, we meet like once every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet at my house, and then we meet at another lady's house. and I'll kind of switch off. We kind of take a break right now during the holidays.
Yeah.
Some in the summer, but yeah. And then we'll work on stuff on our own. Now, there's another lady who actually does quilting on her home machine,
mm-hmm.
on her, you know, domestic machine. So she does some of hers and then quilts them herself. So that helps me out because I don't always have a whole lot of time to work on these. So actually, I have 15 of them ready to go here pretty soon to the Women's Care Center. So I had another batch of 15 back in April. So when this batch goes, then we will have given 30 this year.
Nice.
To the Women's Care Center, yeah. That's something I really enjoy doing, and I think we put a little tag on them, on each of the quilts that has the name of our quilt group, when the quilt was made, and it also has a Bible verse, which is John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
God to love the world, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have that on.
Great.
There.
What tips would you give to others?
Tips on quilting?
Yes.
I don't know. Just have fun. That's all. Because, you know, if you're not having fun with it, and if it doesn't relax you to do it, you know, it's not. To me, it's my creative outlet, you know. It's like it de-stresses me. And so that's why I love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I have, you know, my work is my, I call it my logical side because, you know, it's technical and I have to be technical at work. And so when I come home, then I can have my creative side take over and that really de-stresses me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, just have fun and enjoy it. You know, I have a grandbaby. I made one quilt for her,
uh-huh.
and I need to make her another one, but I just haven't got around to it because I've been working on this other granddaughter's one. So
yeah,
just too many hobbies and not enough time, you know. Because I do gardening too in the spring.
We didn't even hit gardening.
Yeah, I do gardening.
What do you like about gardening?
I actually, I'm into, like, organic right now, and I want to do my own gardening because I want to know that it's organic and, you know, good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love green beans, and so I can grow green beans. I want to try a bunch of different things next year. I just actually started my garden last year, I just put in my garden last year.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a different kind of garden than most people do. I kind of got the idea from a website called Back to Eden.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy who does his gardening this way where you actually use mulch on your garden. You keep mulch on it. So you plant down inside the mulch.
Yeah.
And that mulch is constantly, and you're using like an organic mulch, you know, like, and he prefers wood chips.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that the gardening places will go out and they'll take down a tree or whatever, or shrubs, and they'll just shred all that and into a wood chipper. So you have all this organic material that he likes to put on his garden, and that, you know, decomposes over time. So you've always got this decomposition process going on.
Yeah.
That enriches the soil. So you don't have to put fertilizers on it. You don't need pesticides, you know. So this is how I just put in this garden last year. It's not real big, but that's how I'm going to do my gardening. So I've gardened for a long time, but this is the first time I've had this type of garden. So, and, you know, his stuff just grows fabulous with just nothing, just wood chips. So I'm going to try it and see how that works.
That's really neat.
Okay, Debbie, you had a neat story you wanted to share about your dad.
Yeah. He lives in Lower Salem, and he has a basement, like I have a basement, and he has his setup in the basement of his creative thing that he does, which is model railroading. And he has a huge setup in there with the HO scale. And it's just, it's amazing because people come and see it all the time. He'll show it to people. And he's got a book where people write their names in. And he's got the Ohio River and boats on it, along with the trains and buildings and the little people. And then he's got a huge command or control center is what it is, with all these switches and buttons and stuff. It's just, it's amazing. And then I have my creative thing down in my basement. And he was over one time, and he was looking around. I was showing him my quilts and stuff. And he says, you know, we're cellar dwellers. Because we have our things in our basement.
Yeah, have fun.
And that's, you know, his creative side and my creative side. And it's where I got it from, my dad. So, yeah.
That's so neat.
Well, thanks so much for visiting with me. I really appreciate it. This was fun.
You're welcome. I mean, just, it's a quilter's thing, and you have to be a quilter to understand it, I guess, you know.
Or at least a wannabe.
Yeah, right. So. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com. Or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.